information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Appear to border
and it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
We are the 99% that will no longer tolerate the greed and corruption of the 1%. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 232 from Media Monarchy. It's September 23rd, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, execution, operation, and alignment fiasco. Comets, satellite crash, sightings in Quixter, sinister forces, roving revenants, and underground groups. Occupy Wall Street, Warren and class warfare, angel food, Albertsons, antibiotics, and arsenic apples, plus the Hold on Hope news purge, all that and so very much more. September 23rd, 2011, episode 232 from MediaMonarchy.com.
Poets often use many words to say a simple thing. It takes thought and time and rhyme to make a poem sing. With music and words I've been playing. For you I have written a song. To be sure that you'll know what I'm saying, I'll translate as I go along.
Fly. Moment to free the very
Fly Me to the Moon Palace. First part, Tony Bennett, 1965, Fly Me to the Moon. Second part, Ladytron, brand new music from their 2011 album, Gravity the Seducer. And that song was called Moon Palace, smashed together by yours truly. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. It's episode 232, and it's September 23rd, 2011, the first day of fall. It is the equinox. And we are broadcasting live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And, of course, a huge thanks to the stations that syndicate and simulcast and otherwise spread the word about this show, zeropointradio.com and revereradio.net. Huge thanks to both of those outlets have been playing Media Monarchy for years now. Radio23.org, radioforall.net, archive.org, just some of the ways you can get high-quality, low-quality archives of all the shows and interviews and mixtapes and B-sides that we put out. TragedyandHope.com for the moral support, and of course, you can make contact with us through Face, Space, Twitter, Tube, Tumblr, Gmail, Skype, all with Media Monarchy as your keyword or username. And again, your support helps keep Media Monarchy going and growing. Thanks to Samuel in Belgium yet again, and Michael in Hollywood, Florida, for their donations in the past week to Media Monarchy. It helps us not go into the red, pay our dues at the radio station with Skype and the P.O. Box and the domain names and all of those things to bring you fair use, public domain, open source media. Of course, we always like to bring and open the breaking news. And apparently, we've discovered time travel. Particles move faster than light. It may be a physics revolution. Yes, it's CERN and the OPERA experiment. Just one of the amazing events in a confluence of events over this weekend. The equinox. The terror drills. The satellites crashing. The new moon. All of that and so very, very much more. And we're going to go over every damn bit of it on this episode 232. Some of the other things in the news. Palestinians formally request UN membership. Old NASA satellite tumbling to Earth Friday or Saturday. And more on Rick Perry, BPA, and all the other things we're going to get to in this episode. Before we move on, I'll take one quick second to say happy birthday, Cassie. I love you. And that's essentially why we do this, out of a passion for life, and we want to spread information. I've always had a huge passion of spreading information, turning people onto things, whether that's a record, a film, an artist, or a bit of hidden news. It all goes together for me, and that's what I try and do with Media Monarchy and the ever-growing kingdom of sites. Again, and we're going to go through all of it, my friends. It's the first day of fall, September 23rd, 2011, episode 232. This is Media Monarchy. Let's do it. The latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, my weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, is published. Secrecy Kills, Occupy Wall Street, and Milk War. Our first story, confirmed ID of CIA official behind 9/11 rendition and torture and more. Bukowski is the name. This coming out of recent revelations and research by documentarians who have been threatened by the Central Intelligence Agency for asking the question, who is Richard Blee? That and supplemental links provided for you. Second story, Yahoo apologizes for blocking emails on Wall Street protests. and the related econocrash stories that we briefly cover. Occupy Wall Street protesters vow to camp near Wall Street indefinitely. Fed will revive Operation Twist in hope of stimulating recovery. Obama accused of waging class warfare. Greek cabinet to impose new austerity steps. And 21 other signs that something big is about to happen in the financial world and the geopolitical stage at large. Our third story, Wisconsin judge says raw milk is no fundamental right. With a link to download the PDF of that decision and more from the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. And, of course, E. coli concerns prompting a raw milk recall in Washington state. All that and so much more on episode 84 from NewWorldNextWeek.com, which takes us to the big 200th episode from the hardest working man in independent alternative media, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, episode 200, The Best Of. Taking some time to go through the archive and uncover some hidden gems amongst the episodes, articles, and interviews and videos that have been created over the past 4 years of Corbett Report. Like some of the latest videos and audios. What really happened in Libya? Mahdi Nazemroya on Global Research Television. U.S. Real versus Palestine, a two-faced rejection of a two-state solution. Our Nuclear World, a feature report on Global Research TV and behind the headlines toward a continental security perimeter, which we will reference a little later in the show. And latest interviews with Pepe Escobar, Joe Lauria, Eric Schein, and the one and only Richard Grove of TragedyAndHope.com, and of course, the fantastic higher education podcast, PeaceRevolution.org. Some of the other folks in the producers' circle, if you will, at the TragedyAndHope.com community. Paul Verge of Divergent Films also has Remedy Radio, and they published episode 10 featuring James Corbett, a responsible voice for independent journalism. No pressure there. And then finally, in the rundown of all the alternative media that I'm proud enough to be associated with in some way or another, the latest from my man Clyde Lewis from right here in Portland, Oregon, groundzeromedia.org. Latest articles and episodes, Be Afraid of the Dark, Encounter at Coffinberry Lake, Grail Be Still and Know That I Am God, Lucifer Rising, The Two Suns in the Sunset, Dark Blood Rite, Corpus Delecti, Satellite Snooker, and I don't want to scare you or anything. That and so much more available from groundzeromedia.org. We provide the links for you to listen live, KXL.com, weeknights, 9 to midnight here in Portland, Oregon. And link to the subscription feed for the podcast, the Twitter, all that provided for you. So if you haven't, and I would like to think after week, if you hear me promote some of these other shows, I hope you've checked all of them out. Maybe not each, every one of them is not your cup of tea, but again, we try and throw out a lot of information. So whatever piques your interest or perks up your ears or whatever metaphor you like, whatever turns you on, we're going through it all and we're going to find you. Troy Davis execution goes ahead despite serious doubts about his guilt from the London Guardian. Moments before he was put to death, Troy Davis lifted his head from the gurney to which he was strapped and looked to the family of Mark MacPhail, the police officer for whose murder he was convicted, directly in the eyes. I want to talk to the MacPhail family. I was not responsible for what happened that night. I did not have a gun. I was not the one who took the life of your father, son, brother. He then appealed to his own family and friends to keep the faith, said to the medical personnel who were about to kill him, "May God have mercy on your souls," and laid his head down again. He was administered with a triple lethal injection of phenobarbital, pancuronium bromide, and potassium chloride, and at 11:08 p.m. September 21st, 2011, Troy Davis was pronounced dead.
A Georgia judge is considering an emergency appeal to block tonight's execution of Troy Davis. Davis is scheduled to be put to death by lethal injection for the killing of a Georgia police officer in 1989.
They also asked to be able to conduct a polygraph test today in prison. Well, the prison system has denied that request.
They say death row! We say hell no!
A last-minute appeal was filed in Georgia Superior Court early this morning by Davis's attorneys. We found out just a short time ago that that court denied that appeal, and those attorneys are now taking it to the Georgia Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court of Georgia has unanimously denied a stay of his execution.
He has one chance left. His lawyers just told me, I was just emailing with them, they are going to the United States Supreme Court. That is the only option remaining.
Just a big cheer going up through the crowd. They seem rather jubilant right now. We know that right now, 7:04 was after the time that Troy Davis was supposed to be dead. His execution has been delayed while the Supreme Court watches this case.
But certainly, in the period leading up to 7 o'clock, he was strapped to the gurney and the IV quite likely placed into his arm. But they couldn't begin the procedure until they heard from the Supreme Court. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this case. I don't know how you feel about the death penalty. This is just an awful, excruciating scene.
It is hell. And yes, I'm waiting by the phone. I'm waiting for that phone call that they say, go.
We're seeing a lot of Georgia State Patrol, it looks like, showing up. They seem to be turning and parking, creating a barrier to one side of the entrance of the facility.
This is Troy Davis's fourth execution date. I'm glad that he's alive, but that in and of itself is cruel and unusual punishment.
The Supreme Court has just rejected the stay of execution for Troy Davis.
Everyone absolutely quiet. So many of the spectators here, the demonstrators, now huddled in prayer.
He has made his own bed and he got to sleep in it.
The court-ordered execution of Troy Anthony Davis has been carried out. The time of death is 11:08 p.m.
It went very quietly. The McHale family and friends sat in the first row. Warden read the order, asked if Troy Davis had anything to say, and Davis lifted his head up, looked at that first row, and made a statement in which he said he wanted to talk to the McHale family and said that despite the situation you're in, he was not the one who did it.
I witnessed something that was horrible, a tragedy. This night, the state of Georgia legally lynched a brave, a good, and indeed an innocent man.
There is no reason to celebrate or do anything because it is not good for both families suffer under this. I'm sure his family is suffering like terribly right now too. That sounds awful, but it's kind of relief that it's over for me now.
The debate about what happened in Georgia's diagnostic and classification prison in Jackson late Wednesday night will continue long after the gurney has been put away. In the final gruesome hours of waiting, the American judicial system at its very highest echelons was involved, including the U.S. Supreme Court, which issued the decisive final ruling. The decision to press ahead with the death sentence despite serious doubts over Davis's guilt drew accusations that this was the system at its most grotesque. Again, reading from the London Guardian on the execution of Troy Davis. Let's get our other related murder and mayhem updates with another execution that went much, much quieter. Hate crime killer executed in Texas, Lawrence Russell Brewer, executed for the 1998 Jasper, Texas dragging murder of James Byrd Jr. More on that from the Houston Chronicle. Meanwhile, two Fullerton, California police officers charged in the death of a mentally ill homeless man named Kelly Thomas. And of course, you heard the story of mass casualties as plane crashes into crowd at Nevada Air Show. Reno plane crash witnesses describe horrific scene. More on that from McClatchy on the Deutsche Press Agency. As the clip I have notes, the death toll was raised to 10.
A 10th person has died after a World War II era plane crashed at an air show in Reno, Nevada. The death toll includes the pilot of the souped-up P-51 Mustang fighter that plunged into the ground near a grandstand, showering the area with shrapnel. Authorities say 70 people were treated at hospitals. Four remain in critical condition. Federal investigators say they are analyzing what they call a tremendous amount of material gathered at the scene, including photos and video footage from members of the public. The focus is on the tail of the plane. Some photos suggest a piece of it came off just before the crash. The plane hit the ground at the edge of a crowded grandstand where thousands were watching. Investigators say if the plane was any closer, the accident would have been far worse. Lee Powell, The Associated.
But the other update I have from the Tucson Citizen raises the death toll to 11. Now, just as a quick sidebar, it struck me in ripping that clip that the present day, is it just the destruction of the language? We're not really going to have any clips that have, you know, all the humanity, or even, you know, why can't we all get along, or a day which will live in infamy, and things that can kind of be used anymore. All we get is
a tenth person.
Oh, Jeff. I digress. Interestingly enough, less than 24 hours after the Reno air crash, one person was killed at an air show crash in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Copycat effect, indeed. They flew the plane in, but we caused it. American icon Tony Bennett took to the airwaves at Sirius Radio to promote his new album, Duets 2, but it's what he said about war, peace, terrorism, and who was to blame for 9/11 that could get people talking. Sitting down with Howard Stern this past Monday, the 85-year-old singer dodged questions about his sex life and prior drug use. He did so with a laugh, but matters about the U.S. military and 9/11 were fair game, and on these topics, the Grammy winner held little back. Bennett, 65 years after leaving his military life behind, has sold over 50 million albums and developed definite opinions about other wars involving the U.S. To start a war in Iraq was a tremendous, tremendous mistake internationally, he said. Stern then asked Bennett about how America should deal with terrorists, specifically those responsible for the 2001 attack on the World Trade Center. But who are the terrorists? Are we the terrorists or are they the terrorists? Two wrongs don't make a right, Bennett said. In a soft-spoken voice, the singer disagreed with Stern's premise that 9/11 terrorist actions led to U.S. military involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. They flew the plane in, but we caused it, because we were bombing them and they told us to stop. Following seconds of silence, Stern said that his guest was making some good points.
When you became a Kennedy Center honoree, who was up there? Bush was president at that point, right? Wasn't
right.
Right. So you sat there with Bush. You don't agree with him politically, but all right, for the show, you'll sit there with him, right?
Right.
Did you say anything to him about what he was up to?
He said he told me personally that night that he says, I think I made a mistake.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
About the war.
He hasn't said that to anybody publicly.
Oh, you got to eliminate war, but what do you do with these terrorists who blew up the World Trade Center?
Well, if they didn't have weapons, like he said, they don't make them themselves.
But who are the terrorists? Are we the terrorists or are they the terrorists?
Well.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
They're the ones who started with that plane flying into the World Trade Center. What do you do?
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
Well, it's another story.
What do you mean? Are you one of those conspiracy guys who thinks they didn't fly the plane in, that maybe the government started it?
They flew the plane in.
But
we caused it.
Why? Because
we were bombing them, and they told us to stop. They said, what are you doing? And they came on stronger, and they come on.
And now the inevitable backtrack. Tony Bennett apologizes for 9/11 remarks. I'm sorry if my statement suggested anything other than an expression of my love for my country, my hope for humanity, and my desire for peace throughout the world. Ed Kowalski, director of the 9/11 Families for a Secure America Foundation, told Newsday, Tony should stick to singing songs rather than making an unintelligent statement about U.S. foreign policy. Shut up and sing, right? On a more positive note, topping the rest of our related 9/11 updates, the one and only Lupe Fiasco. I like him more and more and more as time goes by. Talks, as BET.com puts it, 9/11 conspiracy at New York protest with, of course, We Are Change.
This is Lou Gradowski. I'm here, and I finally, thank God, met up with Lupe Fiasco. Man, what are you doing out here?
Observing, watching, showing support, you know what I'm saying? Put my body on the front line, I guess, you know, for something I think is very important, you know?
Now, when you came out with Words I Never Said and you mentioned Building 7, I got to tell you, man, you inspired a lot of people to look up 9/11 and to investigate it. What made you, what piece of information made you looking into 9/11?
It was really, you know, one of the things that always stood out for me was Building 7, because it never really got any attention. And it was really just like a question, like I said in the song. It's like, yo, did they really pull it? Because you watch like certain documentaries, and you watch counter documentaries, and you watch explanations and counter explanations and stuff like that. And it was just one of those outstanding things that always was like a, you know, like an elephant in the room for me. And it was really like something that I thought other people thought the same thing too. You know, like even if you agree with, you know, these were terrorist attacks, completely had nothing to do with any black flag operation, anything crazy like that. The phenomenon of Building 7 was something that was just like, it just kind of stood out on the periphery, like, yo, that's kind of weird, you know what I'm saying, for that to just happen like that. It's something that I just think, you know, it was never really a real proper investigation. And any time that you can bring up a question to at least get people, you know, people of positions of power and people of positions of influence to start really taking a proper look at that situation, especially because of the repercussions that 9/11 had around the world, you know, like millions of people have died behind that, you know, for the sake of what, you know, for the price of what, you know, what really happened to cause millions and millions of people to die. If it was just a terrorist attack, then so be it. Let that be known, you know, let that be out and vetted so the public can see it. And I think you'll get more support, you know, I think you'll get more support from Muslim countries. I think you'll get more support if it was just an open and honest kind of thing, and less of this kind of cloudy, you know, kind of mysterious behind the scenes kind of operation and stuff that goes on. And to see the people that come out and counter argument, you know, to kind of the status quo, they're not like kooks or crazy conspiracy theories and nothing like that. You got people who are fighters, people who are demolition experts, people who are engineers, people who are politicians, people from all walks of life, you know. And it's like, well, where does normal begin? Because if they are the epitome of normal, and just on this one instance they're the kooks and the crazies, then when do they become normal again? You know, what situation will come about where everybody can agree on? You know, so I think it's just something to bring up to trying to get the people that and that run this place, that run this country, to kind of be honest and open about an investigation about 9/11 and what really happened, you know?
I mean, that's what the mainstream media does. The questions aren't answered even by the victim, you know, for the victim's family members. And then anybody who asks questions, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist with a tinfoil hat. Right. Meanwhile, as you said, family members, rescue workers, survivors, all the people who lived through here, and so much testimony of the bombs and explosions going off. And, you know, we try to do that when we go up to Silverstein and ask him questions. But when he doesn't answer the question, he looks like they have something to hide. They indicate themselves. And it's kind of like they're inviting a conspiracy to make everybody question what happened.
But there has to be a certain level of, like, I'm a proponent of critical thinking, you know what I'm saying? So I think that everybody should be critical. I think you should be critical of the people who question it. I think you should be critical of the family members. I think you should be critical of the people that say they heard bombs. I think that's the part, is that you need to investigate it. You know, it needs to be investigated thoroughly. There needs to be interviews. There needs to be a commission. There needs to be a whole kind of thing focused on getting to the truth. Not to push one agenda over the other, or not to even rectify. If it was something that was a justifiable kind of situation, then so be it. You know, if it was a situation where, yes, these people really flew these planes into these buildings, this really blew up like this, this is how this collapsed, and that's how I did, and this is why we went to war with this country and this country and this country. If it's proven, then so be it. You know, it's not like I'm trying to, you know, like everything that the government does is bad, or everything that, and at the same time too, everything that the left does is good. You know, it's not that type of situation. For me, it's about critical thinking, you know, and being critical about everything that's going on around you, even the people that come up, even the family members, even the supporters, even the firefighters that was building, everybody. You know, that was something that I think was never fully vetted and presented to the public, and decisions were just made, you know. So it's an interesting thing. I'm not on any side of the fence on that one. My thing is, let's just get to the truth. And the truth isn't just held by one side of the argument at the same time too.
You gotta look at both sides, and it's not left and right.
Right.
It's about truth. And don't believe me, don't believe anybody. Just go out there, look, believe your own eyes.
Right.
And I wanted to bring up the New World Order. What are your thoughts about the New World Order and elites coming together in secret to consolidate power, just like the Bilderberg Group? Do you have an opinion on them?
I don't even think they come together in secret. You know, I think the New World Order is something that's deliberate, and it's in the public. I do think that there's certain parts of it that are in secret, simply because it's a private kind of situation. It's private individuals who hold private stake in certain parts of the world, and private stake in real estate, private stake in their companies. So you'd expect things like that to be secret. You don't invite everybody to dinner at your house. You know what I'm saying? So, and I don't think it's nefarious as people make it out to be. I think it's a lot of the stuff that we silently allow to happen. You know, I think that we're complicit. Even this thing here, Occupy Wall Street and everything that's going down today, the one question that came up for me was, well, all the people that we're trying to get to come out and to raise awareness are complicit in it, because their pensions, right, are connected to the stock market. You know, their 401ks are connected to the stock market. Their retirement plans are connected to the stock market. You know, these are people, when you go in and you see those commercials for like Morgan Stanley and stuff like that, and you want to get a portfolio and you want to set up something for your kids or something like that, or you want to invest in something, you're investing into the stock market. You know, when you get your portfolio back, you got a little share of McDonald's, a little share of Apple, a little share of this, a little share of that. And that's the majority of people. You know, that's not like some lunatic fringe, or that's not like some leftist or rightist conspiracy or nothing like that. Those are regular, normal people who go to work 9 to 5, come home, watch TV, watch Dancing with the Stars, lay down, go back to work the next day. You know, so there's a certain level of like a lot of stuff that we silently admit to, and then just what the system is. You know, we're a system based on capitalism. We're a system based on consumerism. Even socialist societies are based on consumerism, right? And the issue is consumerism. It's not capitalism. You're always going to have capitalism. You're always going to have capitalism. Somebody's always going to make more than somebody else. That's just the way it is, right? Somebody's always going to own the land, and farmers are going to rent it, and they're going to go down. That's just how it's going to go down. You're never going to change that system. But what you can attack and what needs to be questioned is consumerism, materialism, right? Our addictions to certain things, right? As a people, as you, me, everybody here, the people that are not here, the people that are in the offices looking down, the people in their houses, the people who are anti-protesting up the street, everybody at the end of the day is addicted to materialism.
And that solution comes within us, because as soon as we start taking the money out of the big banks, as soon as we stop supporting the corporations that are doing wrong, they're nothing without our consent, and we're allowing this to happen.
Well, at a certain level, bro, you got to look at the products they produce. Some of the products that are actually produced are stuff that we need, you know, and some of the stuff is stuff that we want. And we blur our own lines between what we need and what we want. You know, you ask somebody to say, hey, man, it could be somebody who lives in Harlem who works down here, and you could say, hey, you know, you could just take a bike, and it's like, yo, my man, I can't take a bike every day. I need a car. But when you get in that car, you got to fuel that car. So you're financing ExxonMobil, you're financing Ford, you're financing all whatever car company it is, right? You're financing all these different things, right? You're paying the city because you got to pay for your registration, you got to pay taxes. So you're financing the system just so you can say, hey, I don't want to ride to work every single day because I'm gonna be tired at the end of the day. So how do you address that situation? You know, when do you demonize that person because he don't want to ride a bike? But it's like, are you gonna take care of his situation? Are you really taking in consideration that my man lives in Harlem and he don't want to take a bike or walk all the way down to Wall Street because he's gonna be late for work? He's probably gonna lose his job and he's gonna be tired as fuck.
Yeah, that's true. I always say positivity is key, and we gotta change ourselves first before we change the world. And you've been spreading that message. What made you want to spread this message? Because everybody else in hip-hop is spreading that you need more rims and more jewelry. You're doing the total opposite, saying real wealth is within you. And what made you, like, understand that life is more than just jewelry and all the other nonsense that the mainstream media and consumerism pushes on us?
Well, as I sit here with a Rolex on, you know what I'm saying? There's a certain level of, like, the things that I allow, and the things that I'm complicit in myself, and the things that I fight against, you know, and the things that I don't do. So I'm not up here like, yo, I'm completely 100 non-materialistic and I'm a Buddhist monk walking around, because that's definitely not the case. Yeah. There's certain things, that certain initiatives and certain things that I see that I can lend myself to, or lend my ear to, or lend my body to, and come out here on the front lines and support, then yes. Are there certain things that are out here that go completely against me? Like, are there people, if they came up to me and say, hey, why you got that Rolex on? Take that. I'm an elitist pig from, you know, what have you, you know? So there's a certain level of like hypocrisy, you know what I'm saying? A certain level of like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, these two opposing kind of forces coming together to make people who they are, right? The duality of mankind, right? So I accept that. I embrace that, right? The core for me is I don't want to be in the streets fighting a civil war, running down the street with an AK-47 shooting at the National Guard.
Exactly. Negativity is not the answer, and we can't be fighting our brothers and sisters.
So for me, it's like, let me support something peaceful like this,
yeah,
right? If you're going to buy a Rolex, buy a Rolex. If you're going to buy a Ferrari. That's if you can afford it, then so be it at the end of the day, you know? My situation is, I don't want, there's such a mass of people that are completely impoverished. There's a mass of people that are completely frustrated. There's a mass of people that are completely disillusioned, a mass of people that are completely uneducated about how the system works, about themselves. And it's going to reach a point right, is going to reach a breaking point. And when that breaking point happens, I don't want to be living in the bunker for 15 years eating dried food and, you know, and shooting at people to keep them away from my house and shit like that. I don't want that. So while the opportunity is now, and we have things such as this, and we have things such as the internet, and we can propagate the information, and I have my celebrity as a musician, I want to push that. You know, I want to push people to be educated and go out there and read this book and check this book out. Pedagogy of the Press. Go get that. Read that. You know, like, understand exactly what's going on before we act, you know, and before this shit blows up, you know, because it's going to blow up.
Lupe Fiasco talking to WeAreChange.org at hashtag Occupy Wall Street, bringing up so many good points. 401ks and banks and stock market blurring your lines. But we have that filed with our 9/11 updates, so let's get the rest of them. Last 9/11 wrongful death suit is settled from the New York Times and allgov.com. The lone 9/11 family that held out for 10 years in order to have its day in court has decided, after all, to settle before going to trial. The survivors of Mark Bavis, B-A-V-I-S, said they had no choice. Mike Bavis, twin brother of the pro hockey scout killed aboard Flight 175 that crashed into the World Trade Center, claimed rulings by Judge Alvin Hellerstein forced the family to negotiate a settlement instead of proceeding to trial in November with their wrongful death suit. The Bavis family wanted American Airlines and its security contractor, Huntley USA, to have to prove they met the state standards of wrongful death. Huntley USA, of course, the Israeli-connected private intelligence firm. Lloyd's of London insurers sue Saudi Arabia for funding 9/11 attacks. And then, of course, the update quickly withdraws the lawsuit. More on that from Cryptogon.com. Ahmadinejad again blasts the U.S. over mysterious 9/11. And CIA bad apples named by whistleblowers. This gets further into the story that we briefly discussed at the beginning. Story one on NewWorldNextWeek.com, and that is the work of Sibel Edmonds and Ray Novoshelsky and John Duffy into CIA blocking info pre-9/11. It's beyond dispute that 9/11 was foreseeable. This new article from WashingtonsBlog.com gets further into the allegations. Let's now move, my friends, to CyberspaceWar.com for the Denver drill, Operation Mountain Garden. OMG. Oh, my God. Right near Elanin alignment dates. That and so very much more from the IntelHub.com. On today, Friday, September 23rd, 2011, a large-scale terrorism drill involving 81 agencies will take place in Denver, Colorado. The drill, made possible by a FEMA Homeland Security grant, has been dubbed Operation Mountain Guardian and will include military personnel. Residents have been warned to expect loud noises and smoke, as well as many different emergency and military vehicles. The fact that most major terror attacks have coincided with drills used to confuse and distract first responders not privy to the inside plan has been heavily documented, with 7/7 in London and 9/11 in New York being prime examples. Due to how close this drill is with a documented Comet Elanin alignment date, whether or not you think Elanin will cause destruction or not, the alignment is confirmed by NASA. Speculation has run rampant over whether or not this drill will either go live to distract from the 27th or be used to plan for the disaster that will be caused on that day. This full-scale terrorism simulation is planned just 4 days before the much-talked-about and feared Elanin alignment date. Elanin will apparently be in exact alignment with the Sun, Mercury, and Earth. Past Elanin alignments, though heavily debated, do seem to correlate with major earthquakes around the world. It should also be noted that the idea that comet alignments can cause 6-plus earthquakes, Richter scale, seems to have been proven multiple times, yet mainstream science continues to ignore this valuable warning tool. Coincidentally, NASA is currently in Denver holding a new exhibit related to the International Space Station and space-based research. NASA, an agency started by Nazi Party members secretly brought to America under a once top-secret program called Operation Paperclip, has a long history of corruption, cover-ups, and outright deceptions. Further adding to the mystery and conspiracy is the fact that President Barack Obama is scheduled to be in Denver on September 27th. What are the chances that 4 days after a full-scale terrorism drill and on the day of a major alignment, the President of the United States will be in a city known for its secret bases in eerie symbology? Strangely enough, leaders throughout the world are on or will be on recess during this alignment date. Do these world leaders, as well as U.S. officials, know something that most of the public is completely unaware of? In a report originating from WhatDoesItMean.com, and the questionable Sorcia Fall claims that the real reason for Obama's Denver trip is his plan to oversee DEFCON 1 cocked pistol maximum readiness drill, scheduled for the 27th in Denver, home of the New World Airport. One of the numerous things to not freak out about, not scare your friends and family into saying something's definitely going to happen, as with everything, just critical thinking, be measured. Another thing to watch: Denver drill, Operation Mountain Guardian, right near Comet Elenin alignment dates and world recess and other terror drill. Satellites crashing, which makes me think of some type of Andromeda strain, War of the Worlds style scene. Three posts on cyberspacewar.com further getting into the Comet Elenin extravaganza, and we are in a window of alignments that began yesterday, September 22nd, and runs toward October 1st. So there are some forecasts from youtube.com/9nania, N-A-N-I-A. That channel made its name with their March 9th forecast, 2 days ahead of Japan's 3/11, March 11th quake. Getting into, again, alignments and Denver. There's also the 3 days of darkness prophecy. You can read more about other comets, Halley's Comet, astrobiology, miracles and prophecies, and comet hysteria. The third post, a video roundup, getting into some of the latest things posted to YouTube with many, many links for you. Which begs the question, and I believe we've said it so many times now as we're coming up on our fifth anniversary of this Media Monarchy radio show, that as time has gone by, we don't have to inflate and make up scary, crazy New World Order conspiracy headlines. They're all coming out of the mainstream media pretty much straight-faced. From PC Mag: alien invasion imminent? Summer sees a spike in UFO sightings. Or, as the IntelHub.com puts it, UFO sightings ramp up as government plans staged invasion. Question mark, is an alien invasion imminent? The past 6 weeks have seen a spike in UFO sightings in the U.S., according to an organization that tracks reports of unidentified flying objects. Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, reports that there were 1,013 such sightings in August, up from an average of about 500 per month nationwide. It's pretty exciting, Clifford Clift, the international director of MUFON, told Life's Little Mysteries last week. That's an interesting spike in sighting reports. So more from lifeslittlemysteries.com. And we provide the blue beam flashback, TV fakery, holographic projections, and audio spotlights. The fact that, as we reference many, many times, the technology does exist. Is that what they're spraying chemicals in the sky for? Are they creating the canvas in the sky to be able to project a holographic image of an alien or a deity? And the audio spotlights beaming sound into your head. And the TV fakery. Holograms. So that flashback goes to December 2008 on MediaMonarchy.com, collecting articles from the Washington Post and rescued from the memory hole by HistoryCommons.org. But this alien invasion imminent post also ends with a Christian Newswire update. Hubble discovery confirms God created the universe. You can get more on that from ChristianNewsWire.com. Many, many interesting convergence happening. Defunct UAR satellite Friday estimated reentry. The 6.5-ton Upper Atmosphere Research Satellite, or UARS, projected to fall back to Earth on Friday. Today, the equinox, September 23rd, reports the Telegraph. UARS carried into orbit in 1991 by Space Shuttle, operated for 14 years collecting measurements of ozone and other chemicals in the atmosphere. NASA believes 26 parts are large enough to survive reentry somewhere over North or South America. A 6.5-ton object would jumpstart any space junk recovery business, so we tongue-in-cheek ask the question, where's our space Fred Sanford? Meanwhile, Soyuz lands safely and rattles nerves. From the Associated Press, a Russian Soyuz capsule carrying three returning astronauts from the International Space Station touched down safely last Friday in the central steppes of Kazakhstan, but not without rattling nerves after a breakdown in communications. NASA astronaut Ron Garin and Russian cosmonauts Andrei Borisenko and Alexander Samokutyev landed some 93 miles southeast of the city about 10 a.m. local time after 164 days in space. So that would get us in the mood for a little 1950s sci-fi movie doubleheader with the 1956 film Earth vs. the Flying Saucers. Ray Harryhausen supplying the special effects in 1956, and the 1953 film It Came from Outer Space. So many great schlocky old fantastic B movies and otherwise, or you can find them on YouTube, you can find them on archive.org, and you can find, of course, a ton of them at Navigate Netflix. George von Tassel and the Integratron notes that the UFO conventions in Roswell, New Mexico are popular and well-known, but few know about the UFO spacecraft conventions held out at Giant Rock in California. George von Tassel, a self-acclaimed contactee, hosted conventions there through the 1950s all the way through the mid-70s, and in 1959, 10,000 UFO enthusiasts braved desert heat to attend, which kind of seems remarkable today. This gets into something called the Integratron at the Giant Rock Airport, and I will leave it to you to investigate, my friends. Let's log back on to the web. China on the cyber attack. Is it the law of the jungle or just payback? China internet buzz set off rumors of cyber attacks on Japan, commemorating September 18th, 80th anniversary of the Manchurian incident, or the Mukden incident. Telegraph reports, quote, the attacks took place on Saturday and Sunday and affected the sites of the National Personnel Authority, the Cabinet Office, and a government video distribution center. Hackers also targeted Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, which has admitted that computers and servers at eight of its plants across the country had been compromised, end quote. Is China turning cyber predator, jumping on a weakened foe? And then we would ask, who would be next? So from China to my home state of West Virginia by way of ArsTechnica.com, how a troubled West Virginia lawyer foisted a teen anal nightmare on the nation. In September 2010, West Coast Productions, maker of such films as Teen Anal Nightmare 2 and Juicy White Anal Booty 4, paired up with West Virginia lawyer Ken Ford to file a set of mass lawsuits against online file sharers. Ford was the brains behind the adult copyright company, which promised to help the porn industry cash in on the epidemic of piracy. His business model involved suing thousands of people at once in John Doe copyright infringement lawsuits. Even though the defendants lived all over the country, the film producer was in California and the court was in West Virginia. After filing suit, Ford would try to turn lists of IP addresses collected from BitTorrent into real names and addresses, then attempted to settle each case for a few thousand dollars each. You can learn more about this abajournal.com and just go to adultcopyrightcompany.com, or of course more from Ars Technica. Our 922 DEFCON of headlines, secure boot and game transfer phenomenon. Surprise, surprise, OnStar tracks your car even when you cancel the service. Things that crazy conspiracy paranoid kooks talked about years ago are now public knowledge from Wired magazine. A Windows 8 secure boot would exclude Linux. No open source for you. Whether that's open source gardening or open source computing or food, the powers that be and the multi-generational serial killers can have things that are natural and grow, and we all openly share it. Moral Net from the Register. Comcast $9.99 internet for low-income families goes nationwide. And the last two, both from Cryptogon.com. The first one asking, what will video games be like in a few decades? But the other, I think, maybe answers the question in some way. From the New Zealand Herald and the Associated Press, video games intruding on reality. Game transfer phenomenon. Some video game players are so immersed in their virtual environment that when they stop playing, they transfer their experiences into the real world. A study found evidence of game transfer phenomena, which result in gamers doing things in the real world as if they were still playing. The most extreme examples included reaching for a search button when looking for someone in a crowd and seeing energy boxes appear above people's heads. Half of the gamers' questions said they often look to use something from a video game to solve, or resolve, rather, a real-life issue. In some cases, these thoughts were accompanied by reflexes such as reaching to click a button on the controller even when it's not in their hands. One interviewee reported seeing a menu of topics that were available for him to think about, while another created a list of possible responses in their head after being insulted. Which we can only surmise happens frequently. Continuing with all the updates from cyberspacewar.com, again from Threat Level, Sony forces gamers to promise they won't sue en masse for those pesky hacks. After being spectacularly hacked multiple times earlier this year, Sony's decided it's tired of being sued for security failures and other issues and is requiring gamers on its PlayStation network to sign an agreement saying they won't join class action lawsuits to take the tech giant to court in the future. Sony quietly updated its terms of service, and we provide the PDF link for you. They updated it last week quietly to require online gamers to agree to waive their right to any class action lawsuit in order to log into their network accounts. Updates to the 21-page, 10,000-word agreement would force current and new players alike to take any grievances to an arbitrator instead. An exclusion exists for disputes that would normally be filed and resolved in small claims court. Players have 30 days after signing the agreement to void the arbitration agreement and retain their right to file a class action lawsuit, but only if they send a letter to Sony via regular post, i.e. snail mail, asserting they do not consent to the arbitration clause. Game on. And as long as we're discussing video games, it will continue. As Netflix separates their DVD business as Quickster and adds video games. And again, we will say at Navigate Netflix or NavigatingNetflix.com now more than ever. And it's what I woke up to this past Monday, September 19th. The first email I saw was from Netflix CEO Reed Hastings. But from Business Week, Netflix Incorporated plans to separate its mail-order DVD business from movie streaming, a move the company said will give both businesses a better chance to grow. Netflix, based in Los Gatos, California, the cat, will create a wholly owned DVD-by-mail subsidiary called Quickster in coming weeks. That's Q-W-I-K-S-T-E-R. Chief Executive Officer Reed Hastings said in a blog post, which was late Sunday night, I believe, at 11:59, September 18th. Customers will have to log in to separate websites for the two services and will be billed separately. The change may alienate users who were attracted to the convenience of a single site for both. According to James McQuivey, an analyst at Forrester Research, Netflix fell 26% over 2 days last week after cutting its subscriber forecast.
If you get DVDs by mail from Netflix, that red envelope will soon have the name Quickster printed on it. Netflix is splitting both its DVD by mail and streaming services into two separate entities. two different names, two different websites with two different user accounts needed. In a few weeks, Quixter will be the name of the company that does DVD by mail, and the service will also add video game rentals. The online streaming service will keep the Netflix name. If you're confused and annoyed from the changes, Netflix is well aware the company co-founder and CEO Reed Hastings is responding to thousands of angry comments on the Netflix blog after writing an apology and explanation about the decision, saying this is a move to help strengthen the selection of shows on the streaming service.
I forgot to read the part that says, the company doesn't plan to spin off the DVD division, said Steve Swayze, a spokesman. We don't plan on selling it off, but we probably will. Because everything has a dollar sign. Everything has a price. The American dream is to sell out to a multinational corporation. Our two related media memes, the end of REM, and they feel fine. Got it from HollywoodMemoir.com, tweeted about it. Source back to the New York Times. REM, the underground band from Athens, Georgia, that helped invent the alternative rock sound of the 1980s, said on Wednesday that its members were splitting up after 31 years of making music together. A wise man once said, the skill in attending a party is knowing when it's time to leave, Michael Stipe, the group's lead singer and lyricist, said in a statement posted on the band's website, remhq.com. We built something extraordinary together, we did this thing, and now we're going to walk away from it. I hope our fans realize it wasn't an easy decision, but all things must end. Michael Stipe waved at me once. I probably never told you that story. When I was in D.C. for the Beastie Boys Tibetan Freedom concerts, the one where lightning struck inside the stadium and they shuffled everybody to day two. But the Monday following the concert, there was actually an action at the Capitol featuring Perry Farrell and Tom York and Michael Stipe and some of the other guys from REM, and I was able, before I caught the MARC train back to West Virginia, the commuter train that'll take you back to West Virginia in the afternoon, it'll take you into the city in the morning, but I was watching half of REM play, and I was close enough that as I could kind of see his eyes, when I saw him look at me, I waved, and he waved at me, and then the crowd saw him wave, and the whole crowd waved at him, and I remember asking the dude next to me, I was like, did I do that? The other related media meme, we provide the complete list of the 2011 Emmy Award winners from WashingtonPost.com, if you're interested. That sets the stage for the latest of numerous articles we've posted to Media Monarchy over the years, going as far back as January 2006, October 2008, and December 2010, to now, September 2011, newsflash, the CIA pitches scripts to Hollywood. Are you an aspiring filmmaker who wants to produce a spy thriller? Well, you're in luck because the CIA has a pile of script ideas laying around with a link to CIA.gov. Ironic, you say, that an organization known for secrecy is doling out hints, helpful hints, to Hollywood? The CIA doesn't think so. For them, it's all about image control. And that's just the start of it. The Department of Defense and just about every other branch of the military has an entertainment industry liaison similar to the CIA's. If you want to make a war film and need a fleet of F-22s, a crowd of Marines, or a Navy aircraft carrier, just call up the Defense Department's Entertainment Media Office. And they'll tell you if the Army can spare that M1A1 Abrams tank you've always wanted for a day or two of filming. The scripts we get are only the writer's idea of how the Department of Defense operates, Vince Ogilvy, Deputy Director of the Defense Department's Entertainment Liaison Office, telling Wired's Danger Room. We make sure the department and facilities and people portrayed the most accurate and positive light possible. Okay, fair enough, but why has the Defense Department recently partnered with 20th Century Fox to make an X-Men U.S. Army advertisement, or with explosion enthusiast Michael Bay to make all three Transformers movies? In the Washington Post recently, thankfully, David Serrata suggests entertainment like this is, quote, government-subsidized propaganda. In his article, 25 years later, how Top Gun made America love war. and the flashbacks we mentioned throughout the archives of Media Monarchy, Hollywood and the War Machine, Media and Military, still in love after all these years, and going all the way back to January 2006, Operation Hollywood. Newsflash, my friends, the CIA pitches scripts to Hollywood. Which reminds us of the recent appearance of Dean Haglund in Portland, Oregon, appearing on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on KXL.com. He was an actor that was in the spinoff from The X-Files called The Lone Gunman. And in the March 2001 pilot episode of The Lone Gunman, called, simply enough, Pilot, it was a story where high-tech players and interconnected multinational corporations and families used technology to hijack commercial jets with remote control and crash them into the World Trade Center to kickstart a war of civilizations, the clash of civilizations. 6 months before 9/11, that's a Chris Carter show, Frank Spotnitz. Those guys wrote that episode, and Dean Haglund has said on the record, yeah, there were parties where covert intelligence agents would talk about and plant ideas. Hey, you know, it'd be a good idea for a movie. And let's not even get into Tom Clancy and all the other what essentially are sinister forces. And we're going to get into sinister forces literally in just a moment. But right now, it's time to tell you we're into hour number two of episode 232 from MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It's the Equinox. It's September 23rd. It's 2011, and this is Media Monarchy. Moving to our latest site in the growing kingdom, holyhexes.com. Sinister Forces, an e-grimoire of political witchcraft, now available. Trine Day Books at trineday.com has made the essential Sinister Forces series by Peter Lavenda available in the Kindle format for a reasonable price. The footnotes and citations are included. There are, of course, some typical issues with the conversion, such as frequent unnecessary hyphenation of words, but nothing too distracting. Being able to easily carry all three volumes of this grimoire of American political witchcraft and search them instantly should keep any researcher of the strange entanglements between pop culture, religion, politics, conspiracies, UFOs, the occult occupied for years. And they have, and I can speak firsthand that I've always kept all those books on hand with a well-thumbed index in the back. So we provide the flashback link where we interviewed Sinister Forces author Peter Lavenda back in October of 2009. Continuing on holyhexes.com, Fear of Roaming Revenants, subject of a documentary, a National Geographic documentary to air next year featuring deviant burial, finds, according to an Irish Examiner article, skeletons reveal our ancestors' fear of the undead. The skeletons from Coe Roscommon date to sometime in the 700s, long before vampires emerged in European folklore, but at a time when communities believed revenants, or ghosts, came back from the grave to haunt loved ones or harass those who bore them a grudge while living. The unique find in historic County Roscommon site, the childhood home of Hollywood legend Maureen O'Sullivan, is the result of an archaeological project to excavate graves funded by the Royal Irish Academy. Skeletons reveal our ancestors' fear of the undead. Putin, a fan of new occult-themed film Generation P. McLean's.ca introduces us to Generation P, a film recently shown at the Toronto International Film Festival, portraying, quote, the Chechen Mafia, a dancing Boris Yeltsin, spin doctors fronting a Babylonian cult, computer-generated virtual politicians, Marshall McLuhan, magic mushrooms, LSD, and vast whirls of cocaine forming a mandala on a Persian rug, end quote. in the unnervingly common intersection on politics and the occult. We are told that Apostle Vladimir Putin is a fan of this movie, which also portrays the use of a Ouija board to contact the ghost of Che Guevara. And I should mention that that post, as well as many of the other posts we're going to get in the remainder of this episode 232, are thanks to some of the new folks we've added on as editors and authors to the kingdom. And that's Eric helping us out on holyhexes.com, in addition to, of course, our man Alan in Omaha helping out on holyhexes and cyberspacewar.com. Sex, drugs, and crime. Coming soon to Christian TV. A new free online Christian TV network is embarking on a different type of Christian TV programming that could change the perception many Christians and non-Christians have of Christian TV. It's called Christian Reality TV, and it will be offered online by DoersTV.com, DoersTV.com. There will be several TV series scheduled to air in the first quarter of 2012 depicting people in all walks of life overcoming sexual immorality, drug addictions, crime, and more. The phrase Christian Reality TV was coined by Pastor David, CEO of Doers TV. It's a term he said was inspired by God. Mind control and ritual abuse among the pedophile elite. It's hard to believe JonBenet Ramsey lived only a little over 6 years, but an essay at the conformist.com asks rhetorically whether it's a tawdry tale or a significant event in history. We may not be overstating its impact. JonBenet's slaying really was a butchering of innocence to start a new covenant. The article, one from Conformist and one from Conspiracy Planet, gets into the Ramsey murder and satanic ritual sacrifice. Predictive programming and the human microchipping agenda. Is this our future? Is it the mark of the beast? Predictive programming and human microchipping agenda. With a link to VigilantCitizen.com is a well-done documentary that shows where the elite want to take us. Upset when people are more troubled than they're worth, solution is, we'll turn off your chip. Propaganda won't be necessary to facilitate acceptance, the only criticism of this fine production. Propaganda is meant for behavior control when you're still manageable. The chip will be in your vaccine and never suspect until cancer or tumor surfaces to reveal it. Catherine Albrecht, Edward Bernays, Alan Watt, Positive ID, formerly known as VeraChip, and Alien Tech are among some of the names and faces in the film. Be warned of the microchipping agenda. Let's hit the 922 pop culture news purge. Devil's Rock and underground groups as the Lunar Bible goes on sale in auction. From the Belief blog on CNN, a rare Bible that's been to the moon and back will have a new owner last night. Oh, I wonder who it is. The complete King James Version, framed in gold leaf, is under the hammer at an auction house in New Hampshire. And it's shrunken down, all 1,245 pages of it, to the size of a postage stamp on a piece of microfilm. Dozens sue Montana church for abuse. Brad Pitt jokes about pact with Satan while promoting his new film, Moneyball. And we can grab this from starpulse.com. And is it the Faustian pact? Like Robert Johnson selling your soul to the devil for success? Well, that crappy website won't load. But it was just a joke. William and Kate, pressured to break royal tradition of killing animals. More on that from The Examiner and a movie review of a New Zealand film coming out called The Devil's Rock. And the last note on the 922 pop culture news purge from The Daily Star. Security forces hound shadowy underground groups. You gotta love that headline. Dateline Beirut. It's not exactly illegal to worship the devil in Lebanon, but it is illegal to commit blasphemy or behave in a way that is considered immoral, and it was on these grounds that eight young people were arrested last week on suspicion of devil worshiping. The five men and three women who were also reported to be engaging in acts of self-harm and drug abuse were referred to the military prosecutor's office, as one of the men was a soldier in the Lebanese army, according to a judicial source. Despite it being a potential criminal offense, there is little known, though no shortage of rumors, about devil worship and Satanism in Lebanon, including who is or isn't a devil worshiper. California City fines a couple for holding Bible study in their home. From TheBlaze.com, a Southern California couple has been fined $300 for holding Christian Bible study lessons in their home and could face another $500 for each additional gathering. City officials in San Juan Capistrano, California, say Chuck and Stephanie Frome are in violation of Municipal Code 93301, which prohibits religious, fraternal, or nonprofit organizations in residential neighborhoods without a permit. Stephanie hosts a Wednesday Bible study that draws about 20 people, and Chuck holds a Sunday service that gets about 50. The Fromms appealed their citations but were denied and warned future sessions would carry heftier penalties. A statement from the Pacific Justice Institute, which is defending the couple in a lawsuit against the city, said Chuck Fromm was also told regular gatherings of three or more people require a conditional use permit, which can be costly and difficult to obtain. How dare they tell us we can't have whatever we want in our home, Stephanie Fromm told the Capistrano Dispatch. We want to be able to use our home. We've paid a lot and invested a lot in our home and backyard. I should be able to be hospitable in my home. According to the dispatch, the Fromms live in a neighborhood with large homes and have a corral. I can't read. They have a corral, a barn, a pool, and a huge back lawn on their property, so parking and noise aren't a problem. There's no singing or music, Stephanie said. It's meditative. So is this something talked about in biblical prophecy and in a New World Order where your Bible meetings will be outlawed? Or are these people getting to the point where they're having 50 people over at their house on Sundays? We won't answer that question right now. We're going to move to the final post from HolyHexes.com as the Foo Fighters protest Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas City, Kansas.
Driving all night, got a hankering for something. Think I'm in the mood for some hot man. My daddy said, keep it clean. Looking for a fight, ain't looking for a trouble. Howdy, Mr. Rotten, have you met Mr. Bubble?
Well, rock stars, the Foo Fighters played an impromptu show for a group of protesters from Westboro Baptist Church who had come to protest outside the band's show last Friday night in Kansas City, Kansas. Band members jumped onto a flatbed truck sporting costumes they wore in a recent video parody, parked across the street from the protest, and sang Hot Buns. CNN affiliate KSHB reported the lyrics to the song, "Driving all night, got a hankering for something, I think I'm in the mood for some hot man muffins." Which the CNN affiliate KSHB, which provided that clip, crappily edited out the hot man muffins part. And it made pointed response to the church's protest. As they often do, the protesters held up brightly colored signs that read, "Thank God for Dead Soldiers." Dave Grohl, the frontman for the Foo Fighters, ended the song with a patriotic message, "Ladies and gentlemen, God bless America, land of the free, home of the brave." Takes all kinds. Now we move back to MediaMonarchy.com for a couple of EconoCrash-related posts as we hashtag Occupy Wall Street, protesters descend on Lower Manhattan. From IAB Times, protesters involved with the Occupy Wall Street demonstration started their pilgrimage toward Wall Street, this being posted on Media Monarchy last Saturday, September 17th, day one of hashtag Occupy Wall Street, setting up camp for an indeterminable amount of time in order to curb the influence of big business over Washington lawmakers. They prepare to, quote, take the bull by the horns. A statement on the Occupy Wall Street website notes, quote, "The one thing we all have in common is that we are the 99% that will no longer tolerate the greed and corruption of the 1%, end quote. Apparently, the movement, which is an offshoot of online magazine Adbusters, is angered by what it calls the principle of profit over and above all else. This, they say, has dominated America's economic policies and the way in which Americans view culture and humanity.
Anonymous joins hashtag Occupy Wall Street. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. This is an Adbusters campaign, and they're encouraging up to 20,000 people to occupy Wall Street, flood into Lower Manhattan, occupy the spaces in front of the banks. And now Anonymous have joined.
Right, so they're going to set up tents like they have in the square in Athens or in the square in Tunis or in Cairo. They're going to try to occupy Wall Street. Now, we were just in New York. We visited Wall Street. There's a huge police presence there. It's a highly commercialized site with a lot of outlets for big brand names. Now, this sounds like it would be counter to those commercial interests. How many hours will this tent city be allowed to exist, do you think, Stacey Herbert?
Well, that's a good point because, yes, Wall Street is surrounded by barricades already to keep people out. Now, these protesters are suggesting that people bring barricades in order to keep, you know, themselves in. So they're being kept out by the barricades that are already there.
Well, Anonymous is a very powerful organization, so maybe they'll add some juice. We'll see.
Well, the protests aren't just going to be on Wall Street, though. They're going to be in Paris, London, Italy, and Spain. Now, still, however, this is what Adbusters says. Tahrir succeeded in large part because the people of Egypt made a straightforward ultimatum that Mubarak must go. In Tahrir Square, they were demanding the dictator go. The dictator in this situation are the banksters.
Yeah, they need to surround the New York Fed, which is only a few blocks away, and demand the head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank to leave. And they're not going to leave until the head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank leaves. That should be the whole purpose of the occupation, not to sit in front of the stock exchange and have that highfalutin, fucked, run-on sentence about a laundry list of demands. That never works.
Always making excellent points, the one and only Max Kaiser, who, of course, compared the collapse of Building 7 to the controlled demolition of our world economy. Making the good point, why don't we surround the Fed? Hashtag surround the Fed. This is also something we do discuss on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, the possible questionable futility of protests such as these, where we also discuss Obama accused of waging class warfare with millionaire tax plan, a top House Republican accused President Barry of appealing to Americans' fear, envy, and anxiety by pushing a new tax rate on people making more than $1 million annually, saying the class warfare path will only hurt the economy. Class warfare may make for really good politics, but it makes for rotten economics. Representative Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin, chairman of the House Budget Committee, said.
The New York Times is reporting that President Obama is expected to seek a new base tax for wealthy Americans to ensure that millionaires pay at least as big a rate as middle-class taxpayers do. And the president plans to dub the proposal the Buffett Rule. For Warren Buffett, the billionaire investor who recently complained that Congress is coddling billionaires like him. A White House official said the president will announce the proposal on Monday as part of his plan for long-term deficit reduction. Thursday, House Speaker John Boehner said he would oppose tax increases to reduce the deficit. Instead, Boehner has urged the Deficit Supercommittee on Capitol Hill to lay the groundwork for overhauling the U.S. tax code. Sophia Manos, the Associated Press.
Oh, the Warren, please don't throw me into the briar patch Buffett rule. Because again, as we noted, your 401ks and the stock market and disaster capitalism, they're all intimately connected. We have related econo crash updates. Lloyd's of London pulls deposits from banks on the current and ongoing debt crisis. That is from Bloomberg. Studies show child abuse rose during the recession. That is from CBS News. And another note, but no clip this time, from, again, Max Keiser, interviewing Bill Still, one of the co-creators of the seminal documentary The Money Masters, which is essential if you're somewhat new to this kind of show or news or memes or information. The Money Masters is a must watch. All nearly 3 hours of it. I think the other thing I was going to say about Warren Buffett is anytime we mention him, you know, this oracle of Omaha, of course, the city of the Franklin scandal. But where was Warren Buffett on 9/11/01? Our related Obama SIA updates, again posted below this Obama class warfare story. Obama administration officials brief reporters on transparency plans anonymously. Perry, Romney, Paul. Gallup numbers show GOP nomination is a three-way race. And again, there was another ridiculous debate last night. And again, media going out of its way to not mention Ron Paul, because he's the only guy that comes close to calling this phony shell game, fake left-right paradigm into question. And our last Obamasiah update related note, man with backpack hops over White House fence. And of course, that comes from nationalterroralert.com. Now we turn, my friends, to a whole treasure trove of stories being posted to foodworldorder.com. And a huge thanks to our man, Joe, out somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico, helping writing and posting and editing on foodworldorder.com. So there is a ton there. And again, feeds.feedburner.com/foodworldorder, and you'll get it. GMO Right to Know March to the White House October 16th from eatdrinkbetter.com. The GMO Right to Know March is a 313-mile walk to the White House in support of labeling genetically engineered food. Hundreds of people are expected to march all or part of the route to arrive at the White House on October 16th, Food Day, and demand genetically modified foods be labeled. Elsewhere in the world, genetically engineered foods are labeled. Consumers in other countries have the freedom of choice that comes with knowing what's in their food. The GMO Right to Know March is being spurred on by recent court decisions to approve genetically modified alfalfa to be grown without restrictions and to hold Bayer responsible for liberty-linked contamination of rice, the lawsuit by organic farmers and seed sellers against Monsanto, the growth of the U.S. organic industry to $28.6 billion in 2010, and the overwhelming interest in the non-GMO project. Again, more on that from eatdrinkbetter.com. Angel Food Ministries goes out of business. From the Associated Press, Angel Food Ministries is going out of business after 17 years of providing discounted groceries to needy families across the country, citing the economic downturn affecting many of the organization's customers as its downfall. The multi-million dollar food nonprofit said it will cease operations immediately, according to a statement provided to the Associated Press. More on this story from 11alive.com and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Ralph's, Albertsons, and other supermarkets could close if grocery workers strike. From ABC News, the big three Southern California grocery chains bracing for a strike and possible shutdown after the union representing grocery workers canceled their contract with the stores. About 62,000 workers in the United Food and Commercial Workers Union at Albertsons, Ralph's, and Vons, V-O-N-S, could walk off the job as soon as Sunday night. The union's qualms are health care centric. Of course they are. The union's asking for the companies to shoulder more of the costs. In the current offer from the companies, workers would have to pay $9 a week for solo coverage and $23 a week for a family, union and company officials told the LA Times. The supermarket chains say that these measures are needed to help offset rising health care costs. So more from the Los Angeles Times and ABC News and Business Week. And you may recall just a few weeks ago we referenced Albertson's stores, and they're removing all of the self-checkout lanes because customers want more human contact, and of course, employees want more hours. Ag subsidies fund junk food. Each year when Americans pay their taxes, part of that money feeds into subsidies for junk food ingredients, and hardly any of it goes toward fresh produce, this according to a new report. The U.S. Public Interest Research Group, USPIRG, released Apples to Twinkies Wednesday, a review of agricultural subsidies that shows that since 1995, approximately $17 billion in taxpayer money have gone toward supplementing four of the country's most common food additives: corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, corn starch, and soy oils. These products are used almost exclusively to make junk food such as chips, candy, and soft drinks, or to change the consistency or flavor of staple foods. More on that story from foodsafetynews.com. USDA and the FDA get an F on livestock antibiotics from grist.org. In December, the FDA revealed for the first time that every year 29 million pounds of antibiotics are fed to animals, often through the dangerous technique of administering low-dose growth-promoting hormones to their livestock via their feed. In total, that figure represents 80% of all antibiotics used in the U.S. As Grist has covered extensively, there's broad scientific consensus that this practice creates antibiotic-resistant superbugs that threaten both animals and humans. Despite pressure from public health experts and food and farm advocates, the FDA and USDA's progress on addressing this problem has been agonizingly slow. In the latest development, the federal government's main watchdog group, the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, has issued a new report with, again, the PDF link for you, documenting the many shortfalls of the USDA and FDA's approach. Although the report clearly states, quote, "the use of antibiotics in animals poses a potential human health risk," end quote, the two agencies have not put adequate systems in place to either track or assess the risks of antibiotics overuse. The few systems that do exist are problematic and lack teeth, if you will. Meanwhile, from the Daily Bell, more on the FDA issuing a proposed mandate that represents the greatest threat to dietary supplements since 1994. Back in the early 90s, consumers were so alarmed by FDA bullying that they staged a massive result. This may have been around when, I believe we've talked about it recently, that ad with Mel Gibson talking essentially about Codex Alimentarius and banning homeopathic natural remedies that people have used for millennia. The result was that Congress passed a law prohibiting the FDA from banning popular nutrients, as the agency had threatened to do. There was, however, a loophole in the 1994 law. The FDA was given authority to regulate ingredients introduced after October 15, 1994. It's been 17 years, but the FDA just issued draconian proposals as to how it intends to regulate what it now calls new dietary ingredients. If implemented, some of the most effective nutrients you are taking will be removed from the market. That includes many fish oil formulas and natural plant extracts. ActivistPost.com. More fantastic work from just one of the many amazing independent, non-commercial, alternative media outlets. Even BPA-free plastics leach harmful chemicals. Bisphenol A, BPA, a known endocrine-disrupting hormone mimicker, present in a large majority of plastic products and even canned goods. But what about plastics that don't contain BPA? A new study has found that even products that claim to be BPA-free oftentimes still leach endocrine-disrupting chemicals. In fact, a study found that 70% of common plastic products were tested positive for estrogenic activity, and the number skyrocketed to 95% when the products were put through real-world conditions such as microwaving or dishwashing. The study shows that even products labeled BPA-free still pose a threat to human health and may contain phthalates, also known as plasticizers. More on plasticizers with the search link for you. More on this study from the NIH, National Institutes of Health, showing that even BPA-free plastics still leach harmful chemicals. FoodSafetyNews.com covers 55 ill and 8 dead as listeria outbreak spreads to 14 states. So far, at least 55 people across 14 states have been infected and 8 have died in the deadly outbreak caused by listeria-contaminated cantaloupe, the CDC reported this past Wednesday. The number of confirmed cases and deaths has doubled since the previous week, and the toll will likely rise, given the age of most victims and the severity of their illnesses. The CDC's update on the outbreak says most of the sickened are over 60, and 43 of the patients with available info all were hospitalized. Our next story on foodworldorder.com, we cover on the latest episode from newworldnextweek.com. Wisconsin judge says raw milk is no fundamental right. And as I say, we discuss this on the latest episode of New World Next Week. It's the third story. So I'll just point you in that direction for more on this story from thecompletepatient.com. But perhaps flesh it out with the next story, again from foodsafetynews.com. E. coli concern prompts Washington raw milk recall. Pride and Joy Creamery, a dairy farm in eastern Washington state, has recalled its raw milk because it may be contaminated with E. coli, a bacteria that can cause serious illness, according to a news release issued by the state's agricultural department at the dairy's request. All with links for you. The raw milk was sold at the dairy's farm store near Granger in the Yakima Valley and distributed through 9 western Washington retail outlets in King, Pierce, Snohomish, and Skagit counties. Raw milk is milk that hasn't been pasteurized to kill pathogens from fecal matter that may have contaminated the milk. According to the department's statements, sugar toxin-producing E. coli infections may cause a bunch of horrible things I'm not going to read for you, but again, this brings up the question, raw milk, personal freedoms. This doesn't exactly relate, of course, because the company themselves said it's contaminated with E. coli. Do you want to take that risk? Returning to Activist Post, natural cancer-fighting spice reduces tumors by 81%, used in the ancient Chinese and Indian systems of medicine, curcumin. That's C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, like cumin with C-U-R in front of it, a naturally powerful anti-cancer compound that has been found to decrease brain tumor size in animals by 81% in more than 9 studies. A derivative of turmeric, curcumin is the pigment responsible for turmeric's yellow-orange color. Each 100 grams of turmeric contains around 3 to 5 grams of curcumin, though turmeric is also very powerful on its own. New studies are shedding light on curcumin and illuminating its numerous benefits on cancer and other diseases. Researchers experimenting with curcumin in the treatment of a fatal brain cancer known as GBM published their groundbreaking findings in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry in July. Again, more evidence that natural is good. Pesticide exposure in expectant mothers causes lower IQ in newborns is bad. From Natural News, 3 separate studies recently published in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives indicate prenatal pesticide exposure to fetuses negatively impact a child's learning ability. Their IQs tend to be lower. The greater the umbilical cord pesticide blood levels, the lower the child's IQ. It's as simple as that, and is kind of a duh story. But we're soaking in it. Dangerous germs in fast food kids' play areas. From CBS News, Aaron Carr Jordan is a mom on a mission. The child psychologist and mother of four from Chandler, Arizona, has been checking out the play areas in dozens of fast food restaurants in 11 states. She said on the early show on the Columbia Broadcasting System Monday that she found germs in those areas that could make your kids sick.
We've all heard about the dangers of fast food, and many chain restaurants have introduced healthy food options to their normally high-caloric menu. Yet one woman has started the investigation on a new type of fast food danger, children's fast food playgrounds. Take a look at what one mom found out in this clip from the early show.
A mom on a mission, Erin Carr Jordan, a child psychologist with four children of her own, has been checking out the play areas in dozens of fast food restaurants in 11 states.
And what were some of the things that you did find right off the bat? How horrific a scene is it?
We found stuff that can make your kids very, very sick. We found dirt and grime and rotting food and hair in clumps and swear words all over the place, graffiti, equipment in disrepair that's broken, second story windows that are busted out. Slides that have large gashes in them. You name it. If it's a thing you don't want your child being exposed to, we found it inside these playlands. I made some phone calls, and I enlisted the help of a lab, and we started swabbing.
What did you actually find that could make the kids sick?
We found stuff that causes meningitis, foodborne illness, skin, hair, eye infections, staphylococcus, fecal contamination, quite a few things, coliforms that can make children very, very ill, several of which are multi-drug resistant and potentially fatal.
Doctor Erin Carr Jordan has founded a nonprofit foundation called Kids Play Safe. She encourages other parents to share their experiences and contact their local officials with complaints. Please visit kidsplaysafe.net to help Dr. Carr Jordan's mission to ensure a safe place for kids to be kids.
Continuing on Food World Order, now again from the Associated Press, TV's Dr. Oz accused of fear-mongering on arsenic apple juice.
Could a naturally occurring element in apples that become juice pose a health concern? Television show host Dr. Mehmet Oz is suggesting that trace amounts of arsenic in apple juice should have parents worry.
There's been a huge shift in where our apples come from. 60% of the apples used in apple juice in America come from overseas. We've been so careful about taking arsenic out of our water supply, by not allowing pesticides to have it in order to keep our kids safe and keep our families safe. But that's not true overseas. They've been using arsenic and pesticides far longer than we have there.
Experts say Dr. Oz used lab tests that were not appropriate. The Food and Drug Administration says its own test showed much lower arsenic levels.
The science shows that apple juice is safe and people should not worry. Dr. Oz used the wrong laboratory test. He got the wrong results. He drew the wrong conclusions and is using them to scare moms. I think that's irresponsible.
Arsenic is a naturally occurring element. In its organic form, like in apple juice, it is considered non-toxic. Inorganic arsenic found in pesticides can cause concern at high levels over a long time. The testing Dr. Oz did was for total arsenic, and the show says it does not agree organic arsenic is as safe as the FDA believes. But should you keep drinking apple juice?
There's no question in my mind folks should continue drinking apple juice. I'm not worried about acute toxicity. There have been no cases at all of kids being harmed.
The Dr. Oz show says it will do more tests. The FDA says parents have nothing to fear. A potential food fight over what goes into what we eat. Lee Powell, The Associated Press.
And Dr. Richard Besser is back live with us this morning. Rich, give us a quick bottom line. Both you and Dr. Oz agree that there's no immediate concern about drinking apple juice?
That's right. You know, arsenic is something that's in our world. It's in the air. It's in the soil. It's in what we eat. All of us take in, through our food, arsenic every single day. And that was what was concerning to me, was pointing to this one food, apple juice, and saying, we have a big concern here. Without putting in perspective, perspective that arsenic is something that in low quantities has absolutely no problem for health.
But part of Dr. Oz's argument is that the public should know, we have a right to know what's in our food. And a point that you do disagree on is that Dr. Oz is adamant about the concern long term. Is there a possibility? I mean, how much apple juice would you possibly have to consume? Do you know? Any idea?
You know, it's really hard to say because you have to put it in context of your entire diet. What are your sources of arsenic? What are you getting it from? It's concerning to me that everyone would come away from this thinking arsenic is only in apple juice. Arsenic is something we all take in. We take in small amounts of a lot of things that if you take in large quantity are quite dangerous, but in small amounts aren't. He and I agree totally that it's important to look at our food supply, and in particular to ensure that our children are getting things that are safe. But one of the things that didn't come out of this is that the same food safety rules that apply to our growers here apply to those who are exporting to our country. The problem is, and we agree on this, there's not enough inspection of what's going on overseas.
Last night, you and Dr. Oz talked with Diane, and he said to you on the air, he said, I want you to come on my program. I want to have this discussion. I want to have this conversation. Will you?
Yeah, I will. I think it's very important, but I want to broaden the conversation because I don't think it's useful for people to think there's only an issue with arsenic. We need to talk about food and food safety, and we're going to do that.
And you guys are longtime friends.
We
went to school together. I know you were very upset and very passionate.
Yeah.
He felt very strongly about it. But
yeah, we're still friends.
Thanks, Rich.
In response to this Oz story, U.S. Senator Charles E. Schumer called on the FDA to put in place clearer standards for imported fruit and vegetable juice concentrates and step up inspections of concentrates from countries that use toxic inorganic arsenic in their pesticides or with high levels of environmental contaminants. Schumer pointed out that although serious questions exist over the methodology used by a daytime talk show host last week that covered the subject of arsenic in apple juice, there are currently no FDA standards for toxic inorganic arsenic in juice concentrates. More on that story from AMNY.com and the Miami Herald. And I'm kind of reminded of an episode of G.I. Joe where they used the small amount of poison within apple seeds to stop this ever-growing biological blob. Promises, promises, food anti-terror plans costly. One of the deepest fears sweeping a shattered nation following 9/11 was that terrorists might poison the food supply. An AP analysis of the programs found, set up after 9/11, that the government has spent at least $3.4 billion on food counterterrorism in the last decade, but key programs have been bogged down in a huge, multi-headed bureaucracy. And our final story on the exploding foodworldorder.com, brain scans reveal why food looks tastier when you're hungry.
So could the cure to obesity be hidden deep in your mind? Doctors now say they may have discovered a way to turn off your hunger by removing the feeling of hunger from your brain. Martin Bashir investigates.
Carol Poe is about to have brain surgery to combat her morbid obesity. It's a radical new treatment, and for Carol, an experimental last resort. Neurosurgeon Dr. Donald Whiting is leading the charge. He'll target the hypothalamus, the hunger center of her brain. Because she's awake, she can give them instant feedback.
He said, if you get the urge for any kind of foods or anything, be sure and tell us.
Sure could use a Pepsi, Dad.
Well, then all at once I wanted a Pepsi so bad. I said, can I please have a Pepsi?
Doctors are literally controlling Carol's stomach through her brain.
Do you know, I feel like I'm kind of getting indigestion, like.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like you're nervous or anxious or anything?
I think it's getting a little bit worse.
She fluctuates between feelings of nausea and normality, a virtual puppet for doctors who see this as confirmation they've found their target.
It's really pretty neat to make the brain do what you want it to do.
Yeah, it's better. It's pretty much gone. Yeah, much better.
More on this story from Healthland and ABC News, and we link you to the Yale University and University of Southern California research page on brain scans reveal why food looks tastier when you're hungry. Now, if you could not afford this, what is bound to be expensive treatment, there may be a more affordable way. There's a new psychedelic weight loss drug, which transforms food into monstrous hallucinations.
Last month, the FDA approved Hallucix, a new class of weight loss drug that helps users avoid overeating by producing nightmarish hallucinations whenever food is around. Now, unlike traditional weight loss drugs that work by speeding up the metabolism or preventing the absorption of fat, Hallucix targets the brain's cerebral cortex, stimulating the centers responsible for fear and visual processing. Test subjects reported an unprecedented decrease in appetite and showed dramatic weight loss, with only 18% reporting night terrors or subsequent cardiac arrest.
Poor portion control and snacking between meals are the biggest causes of weight gain. Hallucix eliminates these problems by causing you to throw out or burn any food in your house. It's designed to make fatty and sugary foods even scarier. An apple just looks like it has fangs, but a milkshake will threaten you and your family by name.
Earlier incarnations of the drug proved to be too powerful and produced mental states in which test subjects no longer believed that food had ever existed, an unshakable belief that the subject had to eat all of the food on the planet in order to prevent food from rising up and destroying the human race.
Oh, you don't understand how to do this!
Or the conviction that food could be negotiated with diplomatically.
I'm sorry to take this out, but this is as far as I can bend on this.
And with Hallucix set to hit shelves next month, Abbott is rolling out an advertising campaign for what they think will be their most popular drug yet.
Ever feel like food is maybe too close a friend? Hallucix can help. Just one tab a day can turn food from, hey, pal, to see you later, alligator. Hallucix. Imagine a thinner you.
With the Lab Report, I'm Aisha Patel.
Oh, is it Live or is it The Onion? Art imitates life, imitates you name it. That wraps up everything from the sister sites in the kingdom, foodworldorder.com, cyberspacewar.com, and holyhexes.com, and we return and land back on the home base of Media Monarchy for the 922 News Purge, Hold on Hope, and we begin with our BioWars EnviroHealth updates. Of course, from the indispensable ENENews.com, Fukushima radiation 400 times higher than TEPCO says. Radiation levels spiking around Tokyo as typhoon nears Fukushima plant. The Intel Hub asking the question, were NORAD and other shadow government bases the target of nuke quake weapons? Referring to the recent Virginia earthquake. Scientists on trial in Italy for failing to warn about deadly earthquake. So, of course, you would say, well, how would you target earthquakes? Weather weapons exist. Treaties have been signed claiming we won't use them against each other. And now scientists on trial in Italy for not warning about an earthquake. But at the CIA, climate change is a secret. U.S. lawmakers will see gruesome reality of China's one-child policy, asthma inhalers to be phased out to protect the ozone layer. The vaccine lobby launches their latest Gardasil safety hoax. Aluminum in vaccines, meanwhile, may be even more dangerous than mercury in your vaccines. And our last BioWars EnviroHealth note, Welshman builds low-impact woodland hobbit house for under $5,000. Look at the photos. They're posted on digitaljournal.com. I want one. On to the drug war. Whistleblowers note tight relationship between U.S. officials and drug cartels. Whistleblowers say drug cartels throw fundraisers for U.S. officials. Raw Story and the Intel Hub reporting. Drug use now kills more people than traffic accidents. RAND study finds less crime near medical marijuana dispensaries, and the flip side of that is marijuana arrests keep drug enforcers in business. That's how gangsters work. Geopolitics at the General Assembly at the United Nations. Turkey slams Israel. Iran slams the West. Venezuela, Cuba defend Iran. Syria attacks Israel. And on and on and on the grand chessboard. U.S. pays 62% of Afghanistan's government expenses, and the ambassador to Sweden, who is Mark Brzezinski? Well, of course, he's the son of Zbigniew. And our last geopolitical note, the 2011 Clinton Global Citizen Awards, liberal confab sponsored by corporate fascists, big oil, and big banks. Which brings us to police state updates, U.S.-Canada perimeter security, and the consolidation of North America. More from CorbettReport.com and Dana Gabriel. Confrontation growing over illegal immigration in New Mexico. Kurt Haskell, first hand eyewitness to the colossal deceit known as the underwear bomber case has an update on the story as I believe jury selection is beginning. Terrorism with your pancakes, the Stasi raids at 7 IHOP restaurants, U.S. to build new massive prison in Bagram, appeals court okays challenge to warrantless electronic spying, Swedish daycare to test GPS for tracking kids, new bill would require nearly all St. Louis dogs and cats to be sterilized, Atlanta increases surveillance of city, and that is worth clicking the link to Cryptogon.com from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution to note that these private CCTV cameras are feeding the Video Integration Center. The last police state note, number of security clearances soars. So, of course, they can always rely on the incompetence theory. And, oh, look at all of these terrorists and dual citizen and dual agents with access to everything. The most hackable government ever, brought in, heralded by the smiling Obamasiah. Finally, at the end of this fastest news purge ever, hold on, hope, we reach West Virginia Worry with West effing Virginia. Student fan group offering vulgar t-shirt buyback program, apparently, and the Washington Post reports it. There were vulgar shirts at recent WVU games, and the Booster Club doesn't really like it, but you can sell back your dirty shirt. Meanwhile, West Virginia University, among the top 10% in the nation, so says U.S. News and World Report. Man sues city of Martinsburg after taser incident. West Virginia voters like one of their U.S. senators. That's from WVMetroNews.com and more from TheIntelligencer.net. Poll shows Rockefeller under Manchin. And, of course, I wish my beloved home state of West Virginia would throw Rockefeller under the bus and all his money-mad pirate families. My friends, that pretty much brings an end to all the amazing alternative open source media posted to Media Monarchy, Holy Hexes, Cyberspace War, and Food World Order. And again, I thank you for spending your time with me on this show. It's humbling, and it's why I do it. So we noted the explosion of media coming out from Food World Order. The same is going to be happening very soon from Holy Hexes and our other sites as we get more folks helping out. And again, if there's something, a particular area that you're good at or passionate about and you would like to help out, of course, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. Be patient with me. Quickly, let's finish up with where I have more and more fun, as we've been talking about now for months and months, on twitter.com/MediaMonarchy. But that's not all. And linked up at the top there, you can see our other tweet feeds for Navigating Netflix, at Navigate Netflix, such as Netflix pairs with Facebook in the U.S., or rather, for everywhere except the U.S., as a 1988 video rental privacy law keeps users from sharing what they're watching. Brain imaging reveals the movies in our mind. Bill Cunningham's New York is on Instant Watch on Netflix. Watch it before you cancel your subscription. Netflix exodus begins as new prices take hold. People tweeting about watching The Flaming Lips, Fearless Freaks, or the documentary Objectified, or six things the film industry doesn't want you to know about. That and so much more on at Navigate Netflix. The other one, and I don't know if I've really told you about it here, but again, it's linked up at the top of the Media Monarchy Twitter feed, and that's at Pump Up the Volume, posting pretty much exclusively about music, where you can see that in a few months, the baby on the cover of Nevermind will be old enough to drink. All 6 hours of the aforementioned Flaming Lips, I Found a Star on the Ground, unveiled online, and it comes in a big package with the Strobo Trip toy, and lead singer Wayne Coyne says you should, quote, take LSD and play with it. You can get the new Patton Oswalt album, read about the end of R.E.M. and other new releases, and the Foo Fighters, and Sinead O'Connor assuring fans she won't commit suicide. The drums, Tupac Shakur, all that, and so very much more, my friends, on just some of the outlets Media Monarchy uses to spread open source information. And I love to do it, and I love having you guys along for the ride, my friends. We're going to go out with brand new music from Glenn Campbell. His brand new and final album has been released. It's called Ghost on the Canvas, and it features appearances by everybody from Billy Corgan and Josh Freese and Paul Westerberg and Chris Isaac and Dick Dale and so many folks. And again, it's called Ghost on the Canvas. But we're going to go out with his cover of Guided by Voices, Hold on Hope, which is what we named our news purge. Thank you so much, my friends. I love you. This has been episode 232 from MediaMonarchy.com, September 23rd, the Equinox 2011. So many things to watch out for this weekend, the Equinox, the drills, Operation Mountain Guardian going on in Denver, the satellites crashing, time travel, the new moon, a Palestinian state, all the geopolitical vacations, and keep your eye out this evening, my friends, for Media Monarchy's Mixtape 12. All that and so very much more. As always, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
Every street is dark and bold and out mysteriously. Where lies the chance we take to be always working, reaching out for a hand that we can't see? Everybody's got to hold on hope. It's the last thing that's holding me. Invitation to the last dance, then it's time to leave. That's the price we pay when we deceive one another. He opens up for free. Everybody's got to hold on hope. It's the last thing that's holding me. Look at the talk box, new frustration at the station. There rides the cowboy. At the station, there rides the cowboy. Campfire flickering on the landscape. That nothing grows on, time still goes on through each life of misery. Everybody's gotta hold on hope. It's the last thing that's holding me. Everybody's gotta hold on hope. It's the last thing that's holding me. Everybody's gotta hold on hope. It's the last thing that's holding me.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, the World Excellence video series with CorbettReport.com. Plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go up with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.